The CBS News Weekend Roundup after this short break.
It's finally fall. The weather is cooling off, and there's no better time to upgrade your cookouts than right now. Let me tell you about Omaha Steaks. They have a huge menu of steaks and more. The process is convenient and quick, shopping delivered straight to your door. Every purchase is backed by Omaha Steaks' 100% unconditional guarantee. And right now, you can get the limited-time family grill pack for just $49.99. You get all of this. 2 5-ounce filet mignons, 2 5-ounce top sirloins, 4 4-ounce boneless pork chops, 4 3.5-ounce chicken fried steaks, 12-ounce package of all-beef meatballs, 4 4-ounce Omaha Steak Burgers, 4 4-ounce Gourmet Jumbo Franks, a 16-ounce package of Omaha Steakhouse Fries, 4 caramel apple tartlets, OS seasoning packet, plus 4 additional Omaha Steaks Burgers. Just for listening, Omaha Steaks is offering all of this for only $49.99. This is a huge savings. Go to omahasteaks.com, enter code FTN in the search bar, and add the Family Grill Pack to your cart. Don't miss this deal. Visit omahasteaks.com and enter code FTN in the search bar to get over 30 gourmet items for just $49.99.
This is the CBS News Weekend Roundup. The presidential election campaign will be over 3 weeks from this coming Tuesday. However you feel about that, the battle between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton seems more bitter every day. Women are stepping forward to say they remember unwanted sexual advances by Trump. He says they're all lying. As you'll hear on this broadcast, his running mate Mike Pence says he believes Trump.
He is categorically denied these allegations these kind of unsubstantiated claims being given so much focus in the media at the time we have hard evidence flowing out of the Clinton Foundation, the Clinton years.
Referring to hacked emails, the Clinton campaign says that is meddling by Russia. Later on the floods in North Carolina, you'll hear CBS's Mark Strassman on one woman luckily safe.
Her son, Jim Floral, got worried he hadn't heard from her. He drove 16 hours from Michigan and, with a cousin's help, rescued her in a borrowed boat.
It's mom. What would you do?
And a lot more ahead on this weekend roundup. I'm Dan Revive in Washington. It may seem like a long time ago, but it was just last weekend that the world first heard Donald Trump on that vulgar video from 2005.
I moved on her like a bitch, but I couldn't get there, and she was married.
Trump also spoke of how he kissed women without even asking them and could grab their private parts because he was a star. Trump apologized last weekend for saying those things. He insists he, in fact, never groped any women, never assaulted anyone. The video helped form the background for debate number 2 between Trump and Hillary Clinton last Sunday at Washington University in St. Louis. CBS's Steve Dorsey's report starts with co-moderator Anderson Cooper.
You brag that you have sexually assaulted women. Do you understand that?
No, I didn't say that at all. I don't think you understood what was said. This was locker room talk. I'm not proud of it. I apologize to my family. I apologize to the American people.
I told you so, said Clinton.
I said starting back in June that he was not fit to be president and commander-in-chief. And many Republicans and independents have said the same thing.
Trump admitted to using a more than $900 million loss back in 1995 to avoid paying taxes.
Number one, I pay tremendous numbers of taxes. I absolutely used it, and so did Warren Buffett, and so did George Soros, and so did many of the other people that Hillary is getting money from.
Trump vowed to throw Clinton in jail.
It's just awfully good that someone with the temperament of Donald Trump is not in charge of the law in our country.
Yeah. Because you'd be in jail.
Secretary Clinton.
A debate, though, and a campaign season, not something to be proud of, according to CBS News political contributor Bob Schieffer.
I just hope to God I don't see another campaign like this one. America can do better than what we have seen here tonight. This was just disgraceful.
That was Sunday night. By Tuesday, with some top Republicans declaring they cannot now support Trump for president, CBS News correspondent Major Garrett reported.
Donald Trump blasted House Speaker Paul Ryan for refusing to back his campaign. On Twitter, Trump complained, "It is hard to do well when Paul Ryan and others give zero support," and called Ryan very weak and ineffective. And to all Republicans now distancing themselves from Trump, he said, "Disloyal R's are far more difficult than crooked Hillary. They come at you from all sides," adding, "It is so nice that the shackles have been taken off me." Republicans have hardly shackled Trump, nervously following his controversial statements and ideological zigzags for months.
I did try and her. She was married.
But after Trump's raunchy words in this 2005 video, Republicans are looking at self-preservation and re-election fights, like Arizona Senator John McCain.
When Mr. Trump attacks women and demeans the women in our nation and in our society, that is a point where I just have to part company.
Trump, in turn, called McCain a very foul-mouthed senator who once begged for my support.
As for Hillary Clinton, her staff has been trying to minimize the impact of thousands of emails hacked by someone wanting to cause some mayhem. CBS's Nancy Cordes reported Tuesday.
Clinton normally takes center stage at her rallies, but in Miami, she ceded it to former nominee Al Gore, who lost the presidency when he lost the state of Florida by just 537 votes.
Your vote really, really, really counts a lot. You can consider me as an exhibit A of that truth.
That was one of two messages Gore was asked to deliver, especially to young voters who have been slow to warm up to Clinton, but who cite the environment as their number one issue. As he spoke, reporters were pouring through emails hacked from the account of Clinton campaign chair John Podesta. Several are from supporters fretting about Clinton's tone. Starbucks CEO Howard Schultz wrote last July that the campaign feels yesterday. It's too packaged and prescribed. Reboot the look of it all and the overriding message before it's too late. As Clinton's email controversy swirled last August, think tank president Neera Tanden asked, why doesn't she just turn over the server to a third party at this point? Isn't it going to leak out of the FBI anyway? Clinton's press secretary called WikiLeaks a propaganda arm of the Russian government, running interference for their pet candidate, Trump.
But there is some evidence in the emails of claims that Trump has made, what Clinton's team really thought about Bernie Sanders, and that the Clinton campaign in 2008 was vicious toward Barack Obama. CBS's Stephen Portnoy reports.
It's evidence that top Clinton allies, including her current campaign chairman, talked of testing how voters would view Barack Obama's cocaine use and the fact that his father was a Muslim. A draft internal poll that would have been conducted just days after Clinton lost the 2008 Iowa caucus also mentions that then-candidate Obama stopped wearing an American flag lapel pin. Those behind the survey say they were merely gauging the vulnerabilities that Democrats might face that fall, and that Clinton's negatives were tested too.
As for Trump's troubles, women publicly accusing him of groping them, they include yet another who spoke on video to the Washington Post.
While she can't say exactly where it happened or precisely when, the woman remembers sitting on a couch at a Manhattan club.
This is the vivid part for me.
Kristen Anderson says she jumped up and ran to her friends when a man groped her.
They said, oh, that's Donald Trump. I was like, ew, he's gross. He just put his hand up my skirt.
Now in her mid-40s, Anderson tells the Washington Post she's only coming forward because she heard the tape of Trump bragging that women let him do anything.
That explains it. That explains what happened to me.
Trump's spokeswoman denies the charge and says Anderson is looking to get some free publicity.
There are other accusers, but Trump dismisses all their stories.
I don't know who these people are. I look on television. I think it's a disgusting thing, and it's being pushed. They have no witnesses. These are lies being pushed by the media and the Clinton campaign to try and keep their grip on our country.
Consider that part of the background to the third and final debate between Trump and Clinton this coming Wednesday. We'll have it on many of the CBS News radio stations at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. That's Wednesday. We've got a lot more politics. Also, Bob Dylan winning the Nobel Prize for Literature. Please stay with us on the CBS News Weekend Roundup. On the CBS News Weekend Roundup, I'm Dan Raviv. Hillary Clinton has powerful surrogates who speak for her so that, in effect, her campaign can be in several places at once. They include President Obama and his wife, Michelle. Her speech in New Hampshire Thursday garnered high praise from liberals, and conservatives, we noticed, were reluctant to attack the popular First Lady. Here's part of what Michelle Obama said about that vulgar video from 2005 in which Donald Trump spoke about groping and kissing women without their okay.
I can't stop thinking about this. It has shaken me to my core in a way that I couldn't have predicted. It's like that sick, sinking feeling you get when you're walking down the street minding your own business and some guy yells out vulgar words about your body. Or when you see that guy at work that stands just a little too close, stares a little too long, and makes you feel uncomfortable in your own skin. It's that feeling of terror and violation that too many women have felt when someone has grabbed them or forced himself on them and they've said no, but he didn't listen. The shameful comments about our bodies, the disrespect of our ambitions and intellect, the belief that you can do anything you want to a woman, it is cruel. It's frightening. And the truth is, it hurts. This is not normal. This is not politics as usual. This is disgraceful. It is intolerable.
Her husband, President Obama, on Thursday night skewered mainstream Republicans for hesitating about Trump's attitudes toward women.
At the very last minute, when finally the guy that they nominated and they endorsed and they supported is caught on tape saying things that no decent person would even think, much less say, much less brag about, much less laugh about, or joke about, much less act on, you can't wait until that finally happens and then say, oh, that's too much, that's enough.
Then Friday at an outdoor rally in Cleveland, specifically in support of Hillary Clinton.
Her opponents made it pretty clear he's just going to drag this election as low as it can possibly go. And he figures that if he makes our politics just toxic, then maybe you'll just figure out you got no good choices and you just get discouraged and you just don't vote. But don't fall for it. Donald Trump's closing argument is, what do you have to lose? The answer is everything. All the progress we've made right now is on the ballot. Civility is on the ballot. Tolerance is on the ballot. Courtesy is on the ballot. Honesty is on the ballot. Equality is on the ballot. Kindness is on the ballot. All the progress we made the last 8 years is on the ballot.
President Obama Friday in Ohio. Talk about a battleground state. Polls indicate a virtual tie as of now in Ohio between Clinton and Trump. More from CBS News correspondent Weijia Jiang.
The women in this ladies-only bowling league in Youngstown, Ohio, tell us it's not polite to mix pins and politics. But Rita Lopez and her friends made an exception for one night.
I'm very excited about Hillary.
4 years ago, President Obama won Mahoning County by a 2-1 margin.
I would like to see the Ohio Valley stay Democratic.
Do you think it's going to?
I'm worried that it's not.
Mickey Garling and Chris Pavlik are both registered Democrats. Garling plans to vote for Donald Trump. Roughly 10% of voters in Ohio are undecided, including Pavlik.
I'm listening and I'm taking it all in.
Why should she vote for Donald Trump?
I think he is the one that can get this country going.
The county's unemployment rate is nearly a percentage point higher than the national average. 30-year-old Devon Johnson is looking for a job after being laid off. He's voting for Trump, even though his godfather is for Clinton.
You both agree the economy is the most important issue.
Oh, yeah.
But you don't agree who is going to do a better job for the economy.
He's the one went bankrupt and came back and went bankrupt again and came back. So that's what we need, someone who's going to get us out of this hole we're in.
Business is different than dealing with the country.
No Republican has won the White House without taking Ohio. Trump could use the support of this state's GOP governor. But so far, John Kasich has not endorsed him. Lifelong Republican Roger Weiss picked Kasich in the primary, but plans to vote for Clinton, not Trump, in November.
I'm sure he's very smart. I just don't like his demeanor.
Dan Anderson does.
He's new and refreshing, even though he says a lot of goofball things.
Ah. Pavlik is still weighing her options.
Oh, well. Good thing I don't vote like I bowl, huh?
The bowlers are split, just like many voters across Ohio, making it anyone's game.
Weijia Jiang, CBS News, Youngstown, Ohio.
Now to the surprise Nobel Prize for Literature to Bob Dylan. CBS's Anthony Mason reports.
Once upon a time, you dressed so fine, threw the booms of dime in your prime. Then you...
With songs like a Rolling Stone, the magazine Rolling Stone said Dylan enlarged the vocabulary of popular music.
The Nobel Prize in Literature for two...
In announcing the award, the Nobel Committee praised Dylan.
For having created new poetic expressions within the great American song tradition.
Would you say that the words were more important than the music?
The words are just as important as the music. There would be no music without the words.
John is in a basement mixing up the medicine. I'm on the pavement thinking about the government.
Dylan is the first singer-songwriter to be awarded the Literature Prize, a controversial decision. But the Swedish Academy said Dylan has the status of an icon.
He helped her out of a jam, I guess, but he used a little too much force.
Picasso fractured the art world and cracked it wide open, Dylan once wrote. He was revolutionary. I wanted to be like that.
How many roads must a man walk down before you call him a man?
First making his mark in the folk era with songs that became civil rights anthems, the 75-year-old artist has continually reinvented himself.
While the emptiness is endless, cold as the clay, you can always come back, but you can't come back on the way.
But Dylan has always downplayed his own influence.
Come gather around, people, wherever you roam.
If I wasn't Bob Dylan, the singer has said, I'd probably think that Bob Dylan has a lot of answers myself.
Oh, the times, they are a-changing.
Anthony Mason, CBS News, New York.
Coming up, more politics and lifting the limits on rum and cigars from Cuba on the CBS News Weekend Roundup.
Are you hiring? Do you know where to post your job to find the best candidates? Posting your job in just one place isn't enough to find quality candidates. If you want to find the perfect hire, you need to post your job on all the top job sites, and now you can. With ZipRecruiter.com, you can post your job to 100-plus job sites, including social media networks like Facebook and Twitter, all with one single click. Find candidates in any city or industry nationwide. Just post once and watch your qualified candidates roll into ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. No more juggling emails or calls to your office. You can quickly screen candidates, rate them, and hire the right person fast. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by over 800,000 businesses. And right now, listeners of the show can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/free trial. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free trial. One more time so you can try it for free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/free trial.
On the CBS News Weekend Roundup, I'm Dan Revive, and here's Mike Pence, Donald Trump's running mate, questioned about the allegations by some women of sexual abuse, assault, groping by Trump. Pence was questioned by Charlie Rose on Friday's CBS This Morning.
We're simply not going to allow the slander and lies emerging from the Clinton political machine and being propagated in the media to distract attention from the real issues affecting the American people.
Do you understand that if these accusations are true, and based on what Governor, what Donald Trump said on the bus, is very, very offensive to women?
As a father of two daughters and as a public person, we take these kind of allegations very seriously. But Donald Trump made it very clear yesterday. He has categorically denied these allegations. These kind of unsubstantiated claims being given so much focus in the media at the time we have hard evidence flowing out of the Clinton Foundation, the Clinton years. We had evidence this week, in fact, that while she was Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton and her aides actually gave preferential treatment to friends of the Clintons.
We would like to ask all those
reconstruction
questions.
Reconstruction contracts in Haiti.
Is there a point in which you say, my values, there is a red line, and we have passed this, and I cannot stay on this ticket?
Charlie, we're in this campaign, and we're in it to win this for the American people. But you speak about the issue of character. It really is extraordinary that in the wake of revelations, and last weekend Donald Trump made it clear he apologized for what he said 11 years ago. He showed humility. He showed heart. He focused that national presidential debate back on the issues that really affect the American people at home and abroad. And yet, to be honest with you, with all due respect, as this avalanche of emails continues to emerge, Hillary Clinton advocating open borders when she was giving a speech in Brazil, advocating socialized medicine when she gave a speech in Canada.
Mike Pence, governor of Indiana, the Republican Party's candidate for vice president. He was speaking on CBS This Morning on Friday. A week after Hurricane Matthew caused damage from Florida up north through other states, it's North Carolina that suffered the most. At least 22 deaths. Overall, at least 40 Americans were killed by this hurricane. Many drowned in their cars. All that left Lumberton, North Carolina, flooded and cut off. CBS's Mark Strassman reported Tuesday.
In much of this city, the water is waist deep and rising because the surging Lumber River nearby has yet to crest. Most of the stranded have been reached. These are now targeted rescues, responses to tips or calls for Chief Jimmy Hunt's team of volunteer firefighters.
It's pretty horrific what we've seen out here.
Their 5-ton truck has ferried dozens of people to dry ground.
When you see folks come out with double amputees, you know, no legs, and we're able to get those folks out of their houses, it just makes you feel something warm on the inside, knowing that you did something good.
But rescue teams somehow missed Joni Gaddy.
Alligators and snakes, water up to your knees in my house, and when you step off the porch, it's up to your neck.
Her son, Jim Floral, got worried he hadn't heard from her. He drove 16 hours from Michigan, and with a cousin's help, rescued her in a borrowed boat.
It's Mom. What would you do? You only get one.
I'm Jim Crisula in North Carolina. The flooding across much of eastern North Carolina has left people dazed and amazed. Earl Anderson shook his head in disbelief as he brought his family out of their swamped neighborhood in Lumberton.
Never thought in my lifetime would ever have to use a boat. See it on TV and you never think it actually happened to you.
With Lumberton's water plant inundated by brown toxic floodwaters, authorities say it could be several weeks before many in the city of 22,000 have water service. Jim Crisula, CBS News, Greensboro, North Carolina.
Now, after the restoration of diplomatic relations with communist Cuba, Republican candidate Donald Trump has said he would reverse the process till there's freedom on that island. The Obama administration responded Friday with changes it said would be permanent. Here's CBS News White House correspondent Pam Coulter.
One change will delight fans of Cuban cigars and rum.
We're lifting the cap on Cuban merchandise that Americans can bring back with them for personal use. That includes alcohol and tobacco products.
National Security Advisor Susan Rice said the administration will also allow some U.S. goods sold online to be exported to Cuba, and U.S. firms will be allowed to service their aircraft flying to the island. The goal is to provide so much momentum to the new relationship with Cuba, it can't be reversed after the president leaves office. Pam Coulter, CBS News, The White House.
Samsung has given up on the Galaxy Note 7, a failure in the smartphone market because some of the batteries overheated, let out smoke, sometimes caught fire. More from CBS's Vicky Barker.
Samsung now says it's ending production of the Galaxy Note 7 permanently. Connie Guglielmo of CNET News.
It's pretty much the worst possible situation you could be in, both as a manufacturer of smartphones and as an owner of that phone.
U.S. and South Korean officials still investigating why supposedly safe replacement phones also caught fire. One theory, two different problems, dealing one big hammering to Samsung stock. Vicky Barker, CBS News.
Now to the Middle East, someone in Yemen fired missiles at a U.S. Navy ship. The Pentagon blamed rebels in Yemen's civil war who are backed by Iran. And as CBS's David Martin reports, the Americans found some targets for retaliation.
This was the first time the U.S. has fired at one of the warring sides in Yemen's civil war, which pits rebels backed by Iran against government forces backed by Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates. The war has claimed an estimated 10,000 lives, many of them civilians, some of them killed by Saudi airstrikes flown with the help of American aerial refueling and intelligence. The strike came after the U.S. destroyer Mason reported coming under attack by anti-ship missiles fired from territory held by the Iranian-backed rebels. A second destroyer, the USS Nitze, launched cruise missiles at three unmanned radar stations U.S. officials believed had been used in the attacks against the Mason. Knocking out the radars will severely degrade the accuracy of any future attacks.
That from David Martin at the Pentagon. CBS's Elizabeth Palmer spent much of the week in Aleppo at the center of Syria's civil war. She reported Thursday that every day children are dying.
The men of Tel Al neighborhood are clearing up after a rocket smashed into this street and killed another five-year-old boy. It's been an especially violent 48 hours in Aleppo, with bombs and artillery thundering down on the rebel-occupied east side of the city and return fire crashing into the west. Samer Samani's shop was destroyed in this lethal tit-for-tat.
When you hear the bombing is heavy on the other side, do you know it's going to start up here as well?
Yes, always.
So when they're getting hit, they hit back?
They hit back, and they hit back on us, all civilians.
Civilians caught in the middle, Syria's government and Russia's Air Force pounding Aleppo, hoping to make rebels leave. Please follow us on Twitter. Don't forget for coverage of the Trump-Clinton debate this coming Wednesday and more headlines at CBS Radio News. I'm at Dan Revive on the CBS News Weekend Roundup. On the CBS News Weekend Roundup, I'm Dan Revive. Now let's consider the election and how it could affect you and me in the pocketbook. And the bank account, and the brokerage account, good or bad, if Donald Trump wins, if Hillary Clinton wins, or does it make much of a difference? We're joined by Robert Capito, president of BlackRock, also one of the founders of BlackRock in 1988. That is a global investment management corporation managing, I'm told, nearly $5 trillion. So there's a lot at stake, Robert Capito. You know, if I read in your survey of investors, it says there are people who have gone to cash, maybe only 13%, but still they think it would be safer to have cash and not so much in stocks and bonds. They're concerned about the election. Have they made the right move?
So what they have done is they have taken their risk off the table. And while they were already in cash, they've added to that portfolio about 13%. So they're less concerned about who wins the election, but they're concerned that there'll be volatility because there's an election. And in fact, there are four or five things that they've put in front of their concern about the election, which has caused them to move to cash. And one is, of course, the cost of living. They've seen health care costs rise. They're worried about Social Security, and they're worried about the economy. And those were ahead of their concern about the election. But all of that creates a lack of confidence, and therefore, concerned with their principal, they have moved to cash.
And yet, as you've pointed out, cash earns almost nothing. If it's in a bank account, you know, 0.25% or something like that, they're missing out on opportunities if they would pay more attention to where they could put their money, no?
Well, this is a major issue because, as you know, the demographics of the world have changed. People are living longer, and in general, they have not saved enough for retirement. So I like to say you can't invest for the future in the future, and they're leaving a significant amount of income behind. So as you mentioned, interest rates are very low. Many of them are in bank accounts earning next to nothing, and we think this is the appropriate time to invest for the long term, and they should be investing in dividend-paying stocks, high-yield bonds, more short-term, and municipal bonds. And this is the time when they need to get invested because you'll not be able to save enough for retirement the longer you sit in cash that's not earning a decent rate of return.
Now, Mr. Capito, when you say it's a good time to invest and don't be in cash earning almost nothing because you won't be able to build up much of a retirement fund, not nearly enough, do you mean buy these stocks and bonds before November 8th? Is that important, whether it's before or after Election Day?
I don't think it really matters. I think that our clients should not be going out and trying to time the market because we believe it's time in the market. So people should be calling their financial advisor and putting together a good long-term portfolio that will meet their needs so they can retire in dignity.
I found it interesting in your survey of investors that the people who felt more confident that they're doing the right thing are the people who use a financial advisor. That may cost a little money, but, as they say, you can sleep at night.
Well, you know, when it comes to finances, it is a very complicated situation. I find that a lot of the millennials are actually utilizing technology today to learn more about the ins and outs of the markets and look for good investments. But the baby boomer generation and Generation X is sticking with financial advisors. I think they add a significant amount of value. And once they understand what your financial objectives are, can put together a long-term portfolio.
Okay, maybe on their own if they really study up. Got that. Now, your survey finds nearly 6 out of 10 Americans indicate the potential impact on their investments and savings will be an important factor in how they vote. Does that make sense? Does it really make a difference, you know, on my personal savings, who wins November 8th?
Well, remember, the presidential candidates always make a lot of promises. There is a Congress that has to support many of those changes. And each of the candidates have different ideas of how they can improve the economy. So our study shows that it's really about there is an election rather than any individual plan that either of the candidates has.
Well, the election, in other words, might help us turn the page. So maybe Congress and the new president will, well, let's say, start infrastructure investment. That could be an interesting area to invest in.
Well, we are believers in investing in infrastructure for a number of reasons. One is that it employs millions of people to build these large facilities. There's a social impact to the facilities. And also they create good investment opportunities that are long term, which is perfect for people that are looking to retire and have some income when they do retire.
A final question, which brings us back to the election. Is it true that when a Democrat is elected, the stock market tends to do better, even though the Democratic Party tends to be more critical of big business?
Well, I think those are just like baseball statistics, and I don't think that's appropriate statistics of whether to invest. I will tell you in the survey, though, that post the election, no matter who wins, the people in the survey say that they will begin to invest in both stocks and bonds.
And you think they should, if well chosen. That's Robert Cupito, president of BlackRock. That's a big investment company. You've just heard about their survey and Robert Cupito's expertise. Thanks so much, Mr. Cupito.
Okay, thank you. Have a good day.
Let's hear from our Weekend Roundup commentator, Charles Grodin, who's 81 years old, a successful actor, author, and activist for causes in which he believes. Listen, you'll realize why I point out those positives.
All the reports of storms and hurricanes in Florida remind me of when I was in college at the University of Miami. I never experienced the kind of storms that have been recently reported, but I had my own inner storm. My dad died when I was 18. He was 53. The storm in my mind over Dad's early passing lives on all these years later. I think about my dad, Ted Grodin, every day, and I so miss him and wish I had made him happy. Try to live your life so you don't look back with regret. I'm Charles Grodin for the CBS News Weekend Roundup.
Speaking of children, they are good at lying, CBS's Jim Shenevy reports.
The saying goes, you can fool some of the people all of the time and all of the people some of the time, but you can't fool mom. Well, kids, guess again. According to researchers at the University of California, Irvine, you can fool mom nearly half of the time. A study involved nearly 8,000 adults and nearly 2,000 kids, and on average, the adults were able to distinguish children's truth from lies just 54% of the time. Previous studies have shown that kids learn to lie at about age 2. Jim Shenevy, CBS News.
Coming up, some of the hacked emails now part of our presidential campaign, were they altered by Russia? On the CBS News Weekend Roundup.
Need a website? Why not do it yourself with Wix.com? No matter what business you're in, Wix.com has something for you. Used by more than 84 million people worldwide, Wix.com makes it easy to get your website live today. You need to get the word out about your business. It all starts with a stunning website. with hundreds of designer-made, customizable templates to choose from, and the drag-and-drop editor, there is no coding needed. You don't need to be a programmer or designer to create something beautiful. You can do it yourself with Wix.com. Wix.com empowers business owners to create their own professional websites every day. When you're running your own business, you're bound to be busy. Too busy. Too busy worrying about your budget. Too busy scheduling appointments. Too busy to build a website for your business. And because you're too busy, it has to be easy. And that's where Wix.com comes in. With Wix.com, it's easy and free. Go to Wix.com to create your own website today. The result is stunning.
On the CBS News Weekend Roundup, I'm Dan Revive. Let's take a close look at how hacked emails have become part of the presidential campaign. Donald Trump has been reading from some of them.
Here's an interesting one. Sidney Blumenthal.
A long email from Blumenthal, friend and frequent advisor to the Clintons, to John Podesta, who's the chairman of the Hillary Clinton campaign, according to Trump, confirmed that as Secretary of State, she does have plenty to answer for the deaths of four Americans, including the ambassador, in Benghazi, Libya.
Blumenthal writes a quote. This just came out a little while ago. I have to tell you this. One important point has been universally acknowledged by the nine previous reports about Benghazi. This is Sidney Blumenthal, the only one she was talking to. The attack was almost certainly preventable, Benghazi. Clinton was in charge of the State Department, and it failed to protect the United States personnel. If the GOP wants to raise that as a talking point against her, it is legitimate. In other words, he's now admitting that they could have done something about Benghazi. This just came out a little while ago.
Trump has also been claiming there's evidence in the emails hacked from John Podesta's personal Gmail account that Hillary Clinton has been improperly colluding with government officials and what Trump calls the dishonest media. As for that supposed quote of Sidney Blumenthal about Benghazi, let's turn to Kurt Eichenwald, who's an author, former New York Times reporter, now writing for Newsweek. Kurt, those words attributed to Blumenthal, I guess you knew those weren't the words of that Clinton friend.
No, it wasn't Sid Blumenthal. It was me. And what had happened there was that an article I had written, a 10,000-word article that was a critique of the Benghazi committee, had within it a, you know, to be sure, here is what nine other reports have found, and there were failings at the State Department. And if the Republicans wanted to argue that Hillary Clinton was the Secretary of State when those failings occurred, that's legitimate. That was manipulated and turned into a Sidney Blumenthal confidant of Hillary Clinton admitting that she bore responsibility for Benghazi and that the Republican attack was completely legitimate.
And then Donald Trump is reading it at a rally as though this is the inside word. The Clintonites know that she's guilty. That's how he uses it.
And that's how he uses it. And the crowd starts, you know, chanting, lock her up. It is extremely problematic. You know, the U.S. intelligence agencies have informed Congress and publicly stated that we are under a hacking attack, a cyber attack by the Russians, that they are going after Democratic Party organizations. And, you know, WikiLeaks keeps turning around and dumping documents that are all coming out of Democratic Party organizations. And the big warning, which came out on October 6th, was that the Russian style of dealing with these kinds of disinformation campaigns is to use someone to dump documents until they gain a level of credibility and then start altering the documents, start putting things out that aren't quite real.
In this case, WikiLeaks and Julian Assange seem to have a good record for accurate documents that are somehow obtained. And now if some of it's altered, who can tell what's accurate and what isn't? And then you feel Trump has been using it as evidence on the campaign trail.
He pulled a document out of either a Russian website or some anonymous something or other on the internet and read it as fact.
Well, on one level, we see that you write in Newsweek all sorts of articles and posts that are highly critical of Trump, but you're trying to warn the American public that just because something is said from a podium doesn't make it true.
What I'm trying to do, actually, and you're the first person to really catch on to what I'm trying to do is highlight what American intelligence is saying, because they are right now at a very high state of alert. We are in a cyber war with Russia, and you aren't seeing bombs going off, and you aren't seeing, you know, people get shot. But it is, in terms of national security, one of the most extreme situations this country has been in a long time with a foreign government. And the setup has been described perfectly in terms of the way this kind of Russian operation works.
They've done it in much smaller countries like Ukraine.
They've done it in Ukraine. They've done it in Estonia. They've done it in the Netherlands. They've done it in Germany. And the entire intent is to keep levels of manipulation, basically, going both for electoral purposes and for subsequent purposes. Once you establish a chain of credibility, you know, you're able to put false information out there. This is not just a Russian technique. This is old school spycraft.
So that's a warning about the Russians. But with all those negative pieces about Trump that you've written, do you think it's the role of a journalist to warn us that Trump is a dangerous candidate, as you might see it?
I've known Trump since 1987, and I have interviewed him many times. I have met with him, and I am not surprised by anything that has happened on the campaign trail.
You've written about him as being very egotistical, a lot of fibs, attempts at flattery, wasting your time on the phone, and you'd say that was a weird conversation. Okay, that's the way he was. And now he's a candidate for president, so do you have to warn us about him?
What I have to do is do reporting about him. And, you know, what I've done, the major pieces that I've done have been largely about his business, trying, because people are saying, oh, well, he's running, he's a successful businessman. The reality is he really isn't. I mean, he was born into the right family. And when you take what he's actually done, as opposed to what he says he's done, and you examine it, it comes up very short. We had far too long the press treating Donald Trump like he was some sort of reality TV show. You don't know his finances, you don't know his taxes, you don't know his charitable contributions, you don't know his health, you barely know his policies. If you look up on his website, there's virtually nothing there in terms of policy.
Do you support the notion that similar reporting and investigations should be done about Hillary Clinton?
Well, of course, but I think they have. I mean, you know, I don't think there's ever been anybody in the history of the United States who's been more investigated than Hillary Clinton. I mean, we're talking about the president of the United States. We're not talking about the next host of American Idol.
Kurt Eichenwald, who clearly is still working at this because we have a few more weeks in the campaign. You can read what he is finding out and putting out at Newsweek.com. Kurt Eichenwald, thanks very much for speaking with us.
Thanks for having me.
It's a complex campaign on both sides, and Election Day, to remind you, is just 3 weeks from this coming Tuesday. Please listen to us for the Trump-Clinton debate, their last one this coming Wednesday evening. You can download our app for your smartphone. The free app is CBS Radio News. The Weekend Roundup is produced at CBS News in Washington by Howard Arenstein. I'm Dan Revive. Have a great week.